The Apostle Paul, who wrote this letter to the church in Ephesus, had much to say about salvation. Paul spent his ministry pointing people to Christ. On this Easter Sunday, listen with confidence about dying to sin and living for Christ. And this is the scripture of the reading this morning is from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, the New Living Translation. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refused to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's angst, just like everyone else. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much, that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. This is the inspired word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Three, it's a powerful number. It's the number of years that Jesus was in ministry once he left his family in Nazareth and went to be with John and be baptized in the Jordan River and then tempted by Satan in the desert. 3 years he had to gather his disciples, to preach, and to do a number of miracles. In those 3 years, Jesus did many miracles. One we talked about with the children where he fed 5,000 men and probably as many women and children, so probably 10,000 or more. And he did it with two fish and 5 loaves of bread. In those 3 years, Jesus made the lame to walk. He helped the blind to see. He turned water to wine at a wedding in Cana. And he called to task some people that were trying to stone a woman for committing adultery. In those 3 years, Jesus gathered 12 men, and actually there's probably evidence that he gathered women too. They just don't get named in the scriptures. And they were called to be his closest followers, his disciples. In those 3 years, Jesus also angered the authorities and the Jewish religious leaders. And as a result, they were trying to get Jesus to break the law so that they could arrest him. Probably the worst thing that happened in all of that is that in those 3 years, Satan was close on Jesus' heels, tempted him in the desert, came in through demons to try to get him to do some things. All for the purpose of turning him away from what he did on Friday, which was the sacrificial death on the cross for all of us. 3 days ago, we remembered Jesus' death on the cross and how they laid him in a tomb. And for those disciples and for those who worshiped on Friday, it felt like all hope was lost. But we sit here on Easter, not by chance, but because God ordained it to happen, because God had this planned all along. God sent Jesus in the flesh to be the person who would suffer and die for our sins. 3 days ago, we remembered Jesus' death, and in remembering Jesus' death on the cross, We did so that we could recognize God's amazing victory over death and God's amazing victory over Satan. Jesus didn't die on the cross just to be an example. Jesus died on the cross to show the power that he had over sin and evil and all the horrible things in the world. Prior to Jesus, sin was addressed by going into the temple in Jerusalem and sacrificing animals. Jesus' death on the cross on that dark Friday, Jesus' death out in the outskirts of Jerusalem, not in the temple, was all so that we could know that Jesus was God's last sacrifice. Because of Jesus' sacrifice, because of his death on the cross, we are no longer ruled by sin. My friends, if you have yet to believe that Jesus is indeed God's Son, and I predict that there's a few of you in here thinking, not sure I buy into this whole Jesus thing. If you have yet to believe that he was God's Son, yet to believe that he died and rose again, I'm afraid that you're probably still ruled by sin if you have not accepted that for yourself. It's once we accept Jesus as our Savior, that Jesus died for us, that we start to live a new life in Jesus Christ. That's the gift of grace Paul was talking about in the scripture. That's the gift of grace that God gives to us. And we can't earn that grace. We can only accept that grace and let it live in our hearts. In our scripture reading today, it says, "For he raised us from the dead along with Christ." So when Christ died and was raised again, those who believe are also raised again, so that we can be united in the realms of glory. So God can point us to all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace. And in that wealth, we are united with Christ. We are united with Christ in his death on the cross. And God saved us by that grace for those who believe. And it's a gift. In the scripture reading, it says, it is a gift from God, that grace. Did you hear that? A gift? We all got a gift today. It wasn't an Easter basket. It wasn't candy and chocolate. It was the gift of grace that is in eternal life. What do you do when someone gives you a gift? Say thank you, right? You say thank you, right? That's the thing to do. When you get a gift, it's important to open the gift. So if somebody gives you a gift, you say thank you. You open the gift and say thank you. We have a gift. The gift of grace. This is the gift that God offers to us. And it's yours. And it's not intended to be put back in the box and stuck on a shelf, put back in the box and sold on the next rummage sale, right? Sometimes that's what happens to our gifts. It is intended to be accepted and then cherished. Once we receive the gift of grace, what are we called to do with it? What does God want us to do with this gift of grace? Well, God intends that it guides our actions and that it helps us to reach out in love and especially reach out in love to those who are not like us. That's really hard for people to reach out in love to people who are different. It is grace that guides us to teach Sunday school, to sing in the choir, to lead a gig, to serve at Shared Blessings. I don't know if you know it or not, but it's grace that helps us determine what goes in the offering plate. It's that grace working in us through Jesus Christ. It's grace that guides our friendships and our relationships with our family and the difficult ones. And for some of us, the difficult ones are the ones with our family and friends, right? It happens. It is grace that nudges us to lean on God in our everyday lives. We should tuck grace in our pocket, in our backpack, in our purse, in our briefcase, in the visor in the car. We should tuck grace every single place that we go. It's grace that helps us turn away from sin. It's grace that helps us to not live the sinful life that we were called to before we knew Jesus. If we just set grace aside, if we forget about the sin that is forgiven in that grace, we will continue to sin. We will not live with Jesus in our hearts. Martin Luther is the one of the fathers of the Protestant Reformation, also the father of the Lutheran Church. Zoe, can you go to the next slide for me? Martin Luther had this to say about grace. This grace of God is a very great, strong, mighty, and active thing. It does not lie asleep in the soul. Grace hears, leads, drives, draws, changes, works in people, and lets itself be distinctly felt and experienced. It is hidden, but its works are evident. God has offered us grace. He's offered that grace freely, and God hopes that we take that gift and that we receive it out of gratitude and love, and then use that gift to serve others for Jesus Christ. My friends, we were not saved by grace just for our own benefit. Yes, we receive eternal life, but we were also given grace so that we would share it with others, so we would build up the Church of Jesus Christ. This church here in Tipton is not just First United Methodist Church. It is the Church of Jesus Christ. And so this Easter Sunday, God, through Christ's death and resurrection, has offered you, each and every one of you, freedom from sin that comes from grace. Will you receive this gift? Are you going to take this gift of grace and receive it and take it with you and use it all over the place and all the things that you do and all the decisions that you make? Because God intended us for the grace that he offered to redeem us and redeem the world. If you choose not to believe, if you choose to set aside this gift of grace, the result is separation in sin. And separation today and tomorrow and for all eternity. If you don't take that gift of grace that's offered freely, you will forever be separated from God. Today, right now, on this Easter Sunday, I invite you to discover the gift of grace that wants to dwell in each of you, in your hearts. As one of our young disciples said, it's hard to hear with our ears because we can hear better with our hearts. If you've yet to discover the gift, or you want to rediscover the gift, because sometimes we get away from our relationship with Christ, I invite you, if you would like to commit your heart to Jesus, to pray this prayer with me out loud. Thank you, God, for loving me and for sending your son, Jesus, to die for my sins. I sincerely repent of my sins and receive Jesus as my personal Savior. Thank you for your gift of grace. Now, as your child, Lord, I turn my life over to you. Amen. If you prayed that with an earnest heart, Christ will begin to dwell in you. And you can take the gift of grace wherever you go.